Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
They read poetry at a basketball game.
With Dusty Hera.
It's just one thing, dude. You have to use so many cuss words.
And Cam Cleland.
Nunchuck skills, bow hunting skills, computer hacking skills. Girls only want boyfriends who have great skills.
Dusty and Cam in the morning.
First you gotta do the truffle shuffle. Come on! Do it!
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, hour number two on this Thursday morning. Dusty here, Cam Cleland. Thanks for being with us, folks. Kyler Murray, should he head to the NFL or a Major League Baseball draft? Kyler Murray's got that big old thick butt. Yeah, he does. What's up? Thick butt Murray. Oh, that's the one that you wanted to pull? You didn't want to pull the Mr. Inches over there?
Well, we got enough of my stuff. We need to get some more of yours.
Mm-hmm. That is true. That is true. I just slide them in there.
A win is 6 inches. That's what it is.
Pat the beaver on the way out. All right. We will discuss more of Kyler Murray, plus where he may go in the NFL draft, because there was one coach in the NFL who has pretty high praise, and they're in a perfect spot to draft him. Right now, though, it is 7:06.
What's hot?
Okay.
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Brought to you on the fan by Area Heating and Cooling. With more than 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver, you won't have to wait on Area.
All right, I don't care if this is actual news or not. I'm giving it to you. The Portland Diamond Project had a Q&A with Darwin Barney, pride of Southridge High School, Oregon State, Gold Glover with the Cubs. And he's part of the Portland Diamond Project's group, he revealed that the most likely landing spot for a professional franchise in Portland is in the American League. Because he was asked, when's game one of the World Series, Mavericks versus Mariners? And Darwin said, not to spoil your hypothetical fun comment, but we'd most likely see them in the ALCS. We will most likely be getting an AL team, as that would even out travel for the Mariners and Portland to the rest of the league.
I think that'd be perfect. It'd create an I-5 rivalry.
20 times a year.
Oh, it'd be exceptionally exciting for all of us.
Yeah, yeah.
And it'd make me have to have a very, very tough decision.
And
I'll take that decision all day long.
Gosh, and it would probably get the Astros out of the AL West, which I'd be thrilled
for. Yeah, you'd love that, too, wouldn't you?
I would love that.
Get them back where they should be in the Central.
Yeah, of the National League. Also, baseball news, speaking of the Mariners, Dustin Ackley heading back to the Mariners.
When did you see that?
Yesterday. The former number two pick has signed a minor league deal with the team that drafted him.
Did he shave his beard while he was with the Yankees?
I don't know. He was kicking around with the Angels. He was last found. He's been bouncing around a lot. It's not been good for Dustin Ackley, but he's trying his shot again with the Mariners.
All right. Well, good luck with him.
I saw a look of rage come over your face mentioned Dustin Ackley.
No, I mean, how many reboots really do ever work in baseball?
Not very many.
Ken Griffey Jr.'s reboot didn't even work.
I've said this before when talking about Mike Zunino.
Yeah.
But Dustin Ackley is a poster boy for this. I think the Mariners ruined a couple prospects by bringing them up too early, not letting them develop in the minors, you know? And I think Ackley's one. They just wrecked his confidence early. Wrecked it. I know you don't feel sorry for
him. No, I don't. I really don't. The Mariners were desperate. That was what Jack Zarenczyk trying to make everybody eligible at the time to come up and do it. Maybe Mike Z too. I think he's going to be a really good pro someday.
Oh, yeah. Someday. Still waiting.
He's good. He's good.
He's not bad. All right. The commissioner of the National Hockey League, Gary Bettman, said Wednesday, the league has promised the city of Seattle to host an all-star game within its first 7 seasons, and they will host an NHL draft. Come on. Come on, Adam Silver. Give an all-star game to Portland. We've only been around for 49 years.
How many more times do we have to hear Portland doesn't have enough hotels?
Stupid.
Does it not have enough
hotels? It has enough hotels.
Does
it's just,
it really?
We don't have enough, like, really, really big hotels.
No, I think the major issue is where the Moda Center is put. There's nothing around it.
Well, that is an issue.
That's
an issue. Had the dunk contest at the Coliseum. Hey, bunk beds in the Coliseum.
Well, you could
fix
do that.
Fix that hotel problem.
Sure.
They need, like, private media river shuttles is what they need.
Yes, they do.
Who knew that a body of water would cause the problem for years to come?
I think that's kind of been the history of humanity.
Yeah,
bodies
true.
Of water being an issue for people. All right, well, that's news. Dabo Swinney has won the Bear Bryant Award, given to the best coach in college football for the third time in 4 years. Hollywood couldn't write a script as good as this one. One of the nation's...
Oh, little Clemson.
One of the nation's top coaches.
Well, he deserves it.
Which recruits at one of the highest levels and has won 2 national championships in 3 years. Nobody can't write this script, man.
I like it when coaches that are the best in the country are considered the best in the country.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Is that a shot at Mike Leach for winning the Football Writers of Association? Because he was, by the way, not the Football Writers, the American Football Coaches Association Coach of the Year.
Yeah,
last year.
It's a cool honor. Trust me. That's awesome to be able to do
it
that.
It is, yeah. But Dabo wins that. He does lose 3 starters on defense in the NFL draft early, though, as Dexter Lawrence, cornerback Trayvon Mullen, and linebacker Trey Lamar are going early to the NFL draft. Dexter Lawrence makes sense because he'd be suspended all of next year due to his drug test, too. So,
all right.
They gone. And Jalen Hurts is officially transferring. He is in the transfer portal, which is the coolest name for something ever. Portland Trailblazers pick up another win last night. They are now 25-17 on the year, 124-112 over the Chicago Bulls. Does it surprise you when I tell you that Kevin Calabro dropped this stat on us? The Blazers are now 25-0 when leading after 3 quarters, 0-17 when trailing after 3 quarters. You don't even have to watch the fourth quarter
anymore.
Is that
the definition of a front-running team?
Yeah. But I also think that it's one part that...
It's alarming.
I also think that this is a... Blazers are what you see is what you get on any given night. Like, you know early what kind of night it's going to be for the Blazers, and that stat kind of bears it out.
You know what? I think what's fair is we should look... I think I'd like to see what some of the other teams are like, if there are a lot of great comeback teams, if the emotions of a third quarter really dictates your schedule or your win-loss record. It sure sounds like the third quarter is the most important quarter for the Blazers.
You know...
When it comes to win-loss.
I'm sure that we can find that out. You know? We'll be able to find that out. Like, teams' records when leading after...
Closers,
3 quarters. Blazers get that win, and it is needed as they are in that logjam, folks. If you look at the Western Conference standings, they are 5th. They are in a virtual tie with the Los Angeles Clippers, who are 24-16 on the year. And they are just a game back of the 3rd-place Oklahoma City Thunder right now. Excite you?
No bad.
Does that excite you?
No.
Okay. Does this excite you? Todd Gurley was back in practicing with the Los Angeles Rams for the first time in like a month with his knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
He was in a limited capacity, but he told Sean McVay before practice it was the first time he showed up to the facility pain-free yesterday.
Yeah, I saw him running the bags. Did you know that towards the end of the season that you look at Todd Gurley, he's already on the downswing in his career. You can see him as he's taking those hits.
Man, that sucks to hear.
Well, no, it's not just sucks. It's just that's the longevity of a running back. You can't have 300-plus touches a year and expect to have a long career. I think who led the touches this year was Zeke had 375 touches or 380 touches this year.
That would be a lot.
That's incredible. That's You're not going to sustain that. And that's what, and you could tell, too, towards the end of the season, Todd Gurley was getting 16 and under amount of touches per game.
The other side of that matchup, the wide receivers are banged up for Dallas. We obviously Allen Hurns, which we didn't talk about that injury. Oh, my God. That was disgusting. He's not playing. But Cole Beasley was held out of practice again yesterday with an ankle injury. Tavon Austin was very limited with a groin injury.
Yeah.
And then Noah Brown, a third-string wide receiver, was out of practice with an illness yesterday. So wide receivers may be an issue for that team. As for the Kansas City Chiefs, notable injury, Spencer Ware limited in practice with a hamstring injury. Eric Berry did not practice due to a heel injury. Yeah. My goodness. Guys are banged up. That's that time of the year. Hot and Cool on the Fan brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling. Right now, Area has great discount offers on qualifying equipment from Trane. Start saving today at areaheating.com. A big lawsuit coming down the pipeline for the University of Oregon. Who will they pin it on? Will it be the former coach, Dustin Cam on the Fan? This was the song where Cam, you just didn't know what the lyrics were, but you still sing anyways. Tin Roof Rusted, Changed Your Life. When did this song come out? Love Shack came out.
Aren't they driving around in a convertible, like pink Cadillac or Cadillac video?
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Riding around.
They're probably still doing the...
Jeez, this is back when...
1989.
Yeah. No,
For 30 years.
You know why I remember this so distinctly? Because I finally got cable in 1989.
Cool.
First day we got cable.
Congrats, man.
88.
All right.
And I stayed home and watched MTV all day.
Was that when you were perming your mullet?
Yeah. It was awesome. I didn't skip school. I was sick. But I watched MTV and watched videos all day long.
It was excellent. Did you have to check the clock to make sure that your kids weren't listening to the show right now when you said skip school and then you're like, no, I was actually sick? Did you ever skip school?
I did one time.
One time, you rebel. Time. You rebel.
And I got caught.
Did you?
I got caught.
What happened?
So it's senior year, the last 2 weeks of school.
Yeah.
Everybody's already getting ready to go. One of the girls like, hey, let's go skip school. It's great.
Oh, hell.
Yeah. So I
bounce chicka bow.
Yeah, no, no. No, it wasn't that. But we went over to a couple other girls' house and they were all skipping.
Wow.
And next thing you know, I head back. We ended up showing up but late back to school. Mm-hmm. And then we walk in and principal goes, Mr. Cleland, how was fifth period? It was really good. He's like, your dad came by. He's like, what? He dropped off your lunch.
Oh, bummer, dude.
My dad made, I had one of those green mini Colemans that and my dad made, and I had forgot to take my lunch. And my dad drove up
of all days.
And he goes, hey, my son dropped the lunch. Can you make sure you get it for him? So they called. They were looking around for me all morning trying to get Julia, and I got caught.
Way to go, dude.
Wrong day to forget your lunch, huh?
And that's
my
karma.
My gosh.
Never did it. Never. It's the only time I ever did it.
I never skipped school.
Total idiot.
As far as my parents know. Yeah. I did it more than once.
I could never get away with anything, man. I get zero luck. I always get caught. So
your skill.
No, it's not skill. I
would beg to differ. All right. Former Oregon Ducks football player, Jesuit high school product, Doug Brenner filed a lawsuit yesterday in Multnomah County Court. He's suing the University of Oregon, former football coach Willie Taggart, former strength and conditioning coach Irile Odorinde, and the NCAA for negligence stemming from a January 2017 hospitalization that we all remember. Three players. It was Brenner, Sam Patassi, who's currently an offensive lineman at Oregon, and current tight end Cam McCormick, that were all hospitalized with rhabdomyolysis, which is basically like compartment syndrome, from overexertion and workouts. He's seeking $11.5 million in damages in the lawsuit. And this is a clear signal that what the lawyers and Doug Brenner are alleging is that there was, they knew what they were doing was wrong as far as a workout goes. And he has lifetime injuries because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Lifetime of injuries is what Brenner is saying with, they're saying his kidneys, he is a higher rate of kidney cancer, kidney failure. And it could take up to 10 years off of his life and shortened his career.
Yeah. All things that a doctor could prescribe or diagnose. It's a lawsuit. I mean, I'd support whatever you want to do. I was during that time, I went through these workouts, so I know what it's like. I think I'm not going to tell you I diagnosed or had this, but this is, it's a scary thing. You have to be very careful. In today's world, you can't be negligent like this. Strength coaches and everybody has to be up on this stuff. They don't have any leeway when you're dealing with young men, especially when a parent or anybody drops their young man off. You're there to take care of them. I mean, that's your job as coaches and as a university. And if this young man has these things and it's concerning, and let's be honest too, lawyers are doing their job. They're doing their job to try to make revenue. And that's this making sure that will money help down the road if there's health costs? Yeah, it will. And I remember when this story came out, my first initial thought was, man, everybody knows what they're getting into as a football guy. Mm-hmm. And these workouts, these winter workouts, they're ruthless. And I'm talking about bad guys puking everywhere, all this stuff. I've seen it all. But to get to this point where the stories where there was no water and they just didn't give him a break and all of that, it just doesn't sound good. It never sounded good from the start.
Yeah. And what we ended up coming out and finding out afterwards was when Odorindé was suspended immediately following that, like the certifications and all that became an issue that came to light. And here's where this lawsuit may have some credence, is that after that happened, the NCAA has since instituted guidelines of what workouts should be. Mm-hmm. And basically what they're finding is that the University of Oregon, specifically Odorindé and Willie Taggart, what are guidelines for the NCAA now were not adhered to at all.
Yeah.
I know. Now, granted, these did come out after those guys were injured, but they say they should, and this is like basic, they're alleging basic common sense that Odorindé and Taggart should have had, which means transition periods from once you come back from break, there are guidelines of you ease your way back into workouts. That's mm-hmm. not what the University of Oregon was doing at all. They had their most strenuous workouts in four consecutive days. Mm-hmm. They also, in the NCAA guidelines, say they should do separate days. So there should be a day in between activities like this, which is something that strength and conditioning coaches agree is something that you do, right? Yeah. So that's where that's where the negligence is coming from, and that's mm-hmm. why the NCAA is a defendant in this thing, is because they're saying these guidelines should have been put in place to protect student-athletes beforehand. Mm-hmm. What's going to be interesting to me in this is, if you're the University of Oregon, do you just look at Willie Taggart and Arile Odorindé and you just point the finger at them and say, hey, we suspended these guys, they're not here anymore, and just kind of let them suffer?
I don't know the legal ramifications, but I think once you hire somebody and they're under your umbrella, it's part of the deal as a university. It's just like anything. If you're the leader of group, I mean, Urban Meyer can't sit there and you can't use that theory of out of sight, out of mind. It's under control. No, you hired these people to do a job and you're responsible for them.
Yeah.
I mean, where are the pockets though?
The pockets?
Who has the pockets?
The deep pockets are with probably the University of Oregon.
There you go.
And that's what, and I saw some people saying, oh, what kind of, you know, true duck is this guy? You know, Doug Brenner, that guy's committed to the University of Oregon. You know, his sister was a four sport athlete there. I think both of his parents went there maybe. And he kind of was, you know, that duck through and through. Do you blame him for suing for $11.5 million when you could have permanent injuries as a result of this?
I don't know. I don't even know what to do. I'm not going to judge that. I mean, I'm not sitting in his shoes. I don't know what the long-term ramifications could be, anything like that. I'm part of a lawsuit from the times I hit my head up against in football. Mm-hmm. So what am I going to sit there and tell? No, whose fault is it? Right. I mean, if I was not told the right things, if I was told what the damages could have been, you know, these young players now, they know everything. But when you're under the tutelage of your head coach and strength coach and you're walking in and you know that this guy's supposed to take care of us.
Right.
He's supposed to put us in the right position at a division. This isn't some small school in South Dakota. Okay, this is a major Pac-12 Power 5 conference. We're supposed to have top-end coaches that are intelligent and are going to make the right decisions.
Yeah.
I mean, Kreiman, we had a young man in Maryland last year. Passed away.
That's right.
It was awful. Negligence. You don't get that. You don't get the option of saying, well, we thought, sorry.
That is gone.
You don't get that.
And that's why you say, where's the deep pockets on this? it may be the NCAA, because they're alleged in this thing as well, because of not having an overarching, plan for how student athletes are treated. Isn't the health and safety kind of the main objective of the NCAA and keeping them? So that may be the route that this thing goes, but ultimately this thing will be settled. They don't want it to go to court because they don't want the messy details of what happened, who came to the hospitals and who checked in and, you know, talked with all these players. Yeah. And Grant, it should be noted, the two players that also were hospitalized still on the team.
Yeah.
And like, there's this kind of expectation that, you know, when their time is done, they may look at the Doug Brenner case and go, well, I guess we're going to join up and get in on this too. But as of right now, they are not. This is just Doug Brenner versus U of O, Willie Taggart, Irile Odorende, and the NCAA for negligence. Back from the opening workouts, the tumultuous start to Willie Taggart's career at U of O. A couple more hires made, or a few more hires made across the NFL. Two vacancies to go. Adam Gase, Freddie Kitchens, and Vic Fangio. New head coaches in the NFL. Dustin Kammer's Buck with SportsCenter. Songs that get stuck in your head. Songs you don't really know the lyrics to. This could be actually one in the same. Good to hit both categories for some people. Three more coaches in the NFL were named yesterday. Vic Fangio, which we talked about yesterday. First defensive coach hired in this cycle is headed to the Denver Broncos.
32 years ago, he interviewed for a job, for a head job.
And that was the last time?
Yeah.
Wow, what changed? His grandkids growing up? 32 years,
I guess Khalil Mack.
Yeah, that'll do it for you. And at the same time, Denver, as the rest of the NFL is moving forward, is heading in reverse with their offense. Gary Kubiak, the offensive coordinator, as first heard right here on primetime, or on primetime, on Dusty and Cam. I heard on primetime they said that it was official that Kubiak was going to be the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And we said that yesterday morning that would, if Fangio said to Elway, hey,
you can pick your guys.
Pick your guys, and Kubiak being promoted made sense.
Doesn't it sound like it's kind of a co-head coach kind of thing going on there? A little bit with the orchestration of John Elway kind of saying, I think that if we have one guy running the defense, you can put the big hat on. That's fine. Mm-hmm. And then Gary Kubiak comes back and goes, I don't have to deal with all the head coach stuff, because he was dealing with some health issues.
Oh, big time health issues.
And so maybe he took that time off, and he can just say, I can just concentrate on the offense. Much better. Less stress, less anxiety, maybe whatever it is, and it works out good. So maybe the Broncos did make a good decision with this. We'll find out.
Well, but as everybody else is moving forward offensively, they're moving backwards with that, you know, zone run scheme.
Are they? And,
yeah.
You think so?
Well, as the rest of the league is airing it out more and opening it up to more collegiate schemes and styles.
You know, he runs the exact same system as Kyle Shanahan.
They are not, but it's far different from passing concepts.
No, it's all based on zone. It's all based with a little bit of a fullback. It's all based on play action too. Tight end play, running game. I mean, all those things are important.
That offense, you're telling me it looks like what, I mean, on the surface,
it's the exact same system as Kyle Shanahan.
Anything, they don't look on this.
Well, they don't have the same personnel right now. They have a better running game than San Francisco.
Right. Shanahan was Kubiak's OC when he was like 27 in Texas or Houston.
That's who we learned from.
The Texans and his dad, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Shanahan comes with his dad, comes with the connection to Kubiak, who was the backup to John Elway. And you want to talk about the coaching tree. Mm-hmm. Here it comes, coaching player tree and how it works.
Also, speaking of coaching trees, did you see that with Fangio going to Denver, that obviously leaves the Chicago Bears without a defensive coordinator? Mm-hmm. Todd Bowles is rejoining with Bruce Arians and joining forces in Tampa again.
Did you know that
again.
Todd Bowles played for Bruce Arians at Temple?
Yes, I did hear that.
Did you hear that in my update 3 times yesterday?
Yeah. But did you hear that?
I was testing because Buck did that.
He almost went to Chicago.
Yeah.
Did you hear why he almost went to Chicago?
No, I didn't hear that part.
Okay. His college coach was Bruce Arians. Todd Bowles' high school football coach was Matt Nagy's dad.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
So his high school coach's son is the coach of the Chicago Bears. His college college coach was the is the head coach
it's
of the
a really
Tampa Bay
small
Buccaneers.
Fraternity. The coaching world.
That's what I call football incest. Yes. Like that. That's mm-hmm. the we talk about how
stick together.
It is just a small tight knit community.
Yeah.
That's how tight-knit it is. Is Todd Bowles had connections
well, there's
to...
There's only 32... Talk about quarters or quarterbacks. There are only 32 jobs. And there's only 32 head coaches in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a small, small job circle.
Which is why it may, is a little bit surprising that Adam Gase became the head coach of the New York Jets. Is that, that's a little surprising, right?
Stays on the East Coast.
Same division.
Yeah. This is what the Patriots
he goes,
factor.
He goes
always,
from
the
Miami
Belichick has always happened.
To New York. They couldn't find anybody else that they felt more comfortable with than Adam Gase.
I feel like to my soul that the Miami Dolphins are never going to be able to get out of their own way. Ever.
What about the New York Jets?
I mean, the Jets have a better chance. They're a cold weather team.
Okay, so...
The Jets have been... Name the last time that the Miami Dolphins have been to a AFC championship game.
The
anywhere.
Well...
Jets went to back-to-back in this era.
Dan Marino was the quarterback.
Oh, dang!
Speaking of songs that get stuck in your head...
Take this. Miami is going to struggle forever, I think. Forever. Because of the... Just in my own... It's his own pie-in-the-sky theory. Crazy. Is the heat, they can't handle it. You can't transfer unless you can play cold weather playoff football, which Miami's never been able to do since Dan Marino. They've never been able to do it.
Yeah.
You can't win football. You can't win a Super Bowl unless you stay in the South the entire time.
And be the
only way you
seed.
Can do that is to be the number one overall seed. And the only way that can happen is if Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are gone. So until that time happens, then we'll have that conversation. But right now under this, the Jets got a better chance and they got a better quarterback.
So what you're looking at here, and this that's why it makes it confusing though, is that Adam Gase was under 500 as a head coach. Mm-hmm. He was seen as a quarterback whisperer, right? His quarterbacks were Jay Cutler.
Which he had a really good season.
And Ryan Tannehill.
Which it's Tannehill. Sorry. Ryan Tannehill.
Okay.
Ryan Tannehill.
But we sit there, we criticize the coach. Why don't the coaches get any of the culpability?
They do get culpability. But if you're talking about those two quarterbacks, do you look at Ryan Tannehill and Jay Cutler as guys you want to set your franchise around?
Then why do we call him a quarterback whisperer?
I don't know. Why is anybody a quarterback whisperer?
See, why is he considered this great? Because they usually have like this uptick in production and have a great history of developing that position, don't they?
No, he did have Peyton Manning.
When?
Denver. Or, I'm sorry, Indy. He did have, let's see, who was his other quarterback that he's been able to be a part of? Adam Gase is getting his, he's gotten his fair share of good quarterbacks.
He was in Detroit from 2003 to 2007. He was in San Francisco in as an offensive assistant under Mike Martz in 2008.
Yeah.
Then Denver.
So he had
in 2013 and 14.
So
he was
had Peyton.
In Denver.
Yeah, he had Peyton.
He was the
time.
Offensive coordinator in Chicago in 2015, and then the Bears head coach after that. So we call him a quarterback whisperer because he had Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning and Jay Cutler at his prime with
Chicago. Two things that may have been in play for the Jets that he beat them 5 out of 6 times in the same division, and additionally, I also read they have not had a head coach with previous head coaching experience since Bill Parcells in '97.
Wow.
So this is the first time in 21 years they've had a head coach who's head coach.
I think Adam Gase is a good coach. I'm not gonna. I think it's a good hire for the Jets.
Okay.
Now they turned down. Remember, Mike McCarthy wanted this job,
and that's where I'm going with there is that if we're looking at 32 jobs, Gase didn't have the success that Mike McCarthy did either.
Yeah, what is Adam Gase right now? What is he? Just
are you gonna say 39?
How old is he?
40.
Like, what else is he? Young. Well, he's got a quarterback type of. Does Mike McCarthy look like Sean McVay, Cliff Kingsbury?
No.
But I'm telling you, this is a real deal right now.
No.
Adam Gase still looks like the kind of guy that everybody's looking for in the New York media. Do you think Mike McCarthy's going to fit well in the New York media?
You know, this is an
as
interesting
surly
one.
And salty as it gets?
No, I have got some audio, but this is, do you know what's really interesting about what you're saying right now? Buck and I were talking about this very thing last week. We were talking about how in the corporate world, right, you have these old people that are in corporate offices, right? and they sit there and they look at social media, and we're probably all in businesses that do this, where there's some old dude sitting behind a desk who sees like, oh, they do the Barstool Sports does this really well on social media. Yeah. T-Mobile does this really well on social media. And they go, I want that. Get me that.
Yeah.
And like Woody Johnson is that old white guy sitting behind the desk, owner of the Jets. And he's going, I want that Sean McVay guy. Get me that. Mm-hmm. Whatever that is, do it. They have no idea what goes into
Jets have always been this
way. They have no, but okay, well, then we can extrapolate it out to Arizona, who did it with Cliff Kingsbury.
Bidwells.
We could extrapolate it out to Green Bay, who has done it with Matt LaFleur in his beautiful white teeth.
And who's the last joke of a franchise that hasn't hired a coach yet
Cincinnati?
That will always be a boondoggle?
Cincinnati?
Yeah. Yeah. With the Brown family.
Yeah. And you sit there, but you have these instances where there's people who have no idea what it takes to be Sean McVay, but they want the look of it, and they tell you what to do. And it's like, it's just like working in the corporate world.
Yes.
That's the NFL.
Yes. You have the old guys sitting in their chair, and then you have the ones that they say, give me a face of a franchise. What's your first face of your franchise?
Your quarterback.
You already got him.
Yeah.
He looks good. He's got it. Okay. Even though he looks like Syndrome from The Incredibles. Doesn't matter. It's Sam Darnold. Now you get your coach. You roll those two out for a press conference. What does that look like? It looks like you know what you're doing with football.
It looks like the Rams.
It looks good.
Until Adam Gase starts speaking.
If you roll Mike McCarthy out there.
Yeah.
I love Coach McCarthy. He taught me more about football than I ever learned in my entire career. Honestly, when in offense, what I learned about offense, more than Mike Martz did. Because I appreciate, he coached me just for 2 years, but But Mike McCarthy is surly. He's from Pittsburgh. He's bloated. He's old. You know, he's terrible talking at the games. He'd be just everything. They're like, we've done this before, New York. We don't want this.
Here's Adam Gase. How do you think he's going to handle the New York media?
I don't know. I think there's some kind of like HIPAA law or something like that. It can talk about. I don't know. I don't know. I don't sit there and ask him all these questions. And I just know the guy couldn't go today. All right. Go ask him. Tired of answering this question about this guy. I got it, but you know what? I'm over it. Me and him, we know that he's not right now. Okay? The details of it, we'll keep that to us. You guys don't need to know that.
How do you think that's going to land in New York?
It's going to be perfect.
I can't wait.
It's going to be perfect.
It's going to be a dumpster fire at when that happens.
Finally.
Not overall his tenure. I don't know what his tenure is going to be like there.
I think it works.
Blow-ups like that are going to be great.
I think it works.
That's going
to
be
works fantastic. Means you find ways to be second in the AFC East currently. That's what it works.
Yeah.
Is easy.
You know what? That is. Yeah. All right. 55305, the Better You Today text line. There's a technology show that's happening right now that may have just, it may have unveiled the best product ever made. Dustin Kamm on the Fan. All right. Kansas, Carry On Wayward Son. Buck informed us earlier in the show that his brother thought little Harry had to rest his head instead of
lay your weary head to rest. It was little Harry had to rest.
Well, that's quite the blunder there. And you know what the best part about it is, that when you hear, like, wrapped up like a deuce, right? When I found out it was deuce and not douche, the very next time that I heard somebody say douche, I was like, you didn't know? You didn't know? Come on, bro.
Where have you been?
I learned that 5 minutes ago, but come on, son. We're going with songs that you didn't know the lyrics to that you thought you did, or you just didn't know the words, and songs that get stuck in your head, because all of these are pretty much one and the same. One and the same.
Well, this all stemmed from Billy Ocean's Caribbean Queen, which originally I thought was Carry Me. What did I say? Carry Me Free. See,
carry,
part of my...
Carry Me Free.
I was confused about what the name of the song was, but it's Caribbean Queen.
Yeah.
And really, I thought it was Carry Me Free.
Carry Me Free sounds like...
Sounds like hitchhiking.
Right. Have you ever gone hitchhiking?
Never have. No, wait. Yes, I have. I've hitchhiked before. Yeah, I did in high school.
Really? Where'd you go?
Me and my buddy crashed his truck in the ditch in the middle of nowhere. Trying to go rooting through the snow.
Oh.
And needed to hitch a ride back to the big street, the actual highway.
And how'd that go?
We found a ride. He hooked us up. Yeah, he's fine. Up in Kavanaugh, Lake Kavanaugh.
Okay. I have two buddies that hitchhiked from Ashland, Oregon to Lake Havasu, Arizona for spring break. That's pretty dumb. Yeah.
Sounds dumb.
But they are live.
But also, like, hard to do in that era. I feel like hitchhiking was way bigger before you and I were in college.
Hitchhiking was bigger back then.
It was a normal thing.
Yeah, you stick your thumb out, get you a ride.
Truckers, man.
Yeah.
Truckers.
Yeah.
Have you ever picked up a hitchhiker?
No.
We did.
Did you?
Yeah.
What's your criteria?
I don't know why we did it. Well, it's because we had like three football players in the car and one hitchhiker.
Did they start pitching you 6 minute abs?
Yeah, right. They have 8 minute abs. Why not six?
No, 7 minute abs.
Seven's the number.
Yeah, we gave him a ride from Seven Feathers Casino in Canyonville down to Grants Pass.
Good convo?
No.
No.
No, not at all. All right. They're having that technology show down in Vegas right now. Have you seen this?
Yeah, the
CES.
CES. Yeah. Pretty cool. I love technology stuff like that.
Well, the best invention ever may have just been...
invented?
Invented or debuted there.
What is it?
All right. Let me tell you this. There is a machine now that you throw into the wash... it washes, it dries, and then it folds your clothes.
Oh, I've seen that. I saw those.
It just debuted today.
Yeah.
It looks like a copy machine.
Yeah, it does. I saw that.
And you just...
But you have to put them in there at a proper... You can't just throw them in all wadded together.
Yeah.
You still have to put them on
They have one that feeds it into the deal, from the dryer to the deal.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
I want one.
Yeah, folding laundry sucks, especially if you have kids.
Because they wear so much clothes.
But I'll turn this even more.
Okay.
If it can fold socks and bundle the socks together, that's even worse.
Matching them.
Because Sock Monster is in everybody's house. He comes to visit, he or she, whoever it is, comes to visit and eats your socks away, and they disappear.
Okay.
And then you got to match them up.
Great invention.
Yeah.
So the dry fit socks that you have left and a right. Love that, how it fits differently on each foot.
Right, yes, very important.
I'm not kidding you. My laundry machine only eats my left. Why?
Oh, it's creepy.
Why is my left sock always missing?
I do believe in my true heart of hearts, there is another dimension world that is portable through all dryers. And what it does is it only eats and takes away socks. It's kind of like it's kind of like Stranger Things.
Yeah. The upside down.
The upside down. And the only way you can get there is through the spinning circle of your dryer. And it loves socks. And so whatever world you go into, if you want to transfer to sock world, there's a place where there's just endless amounts of socks.
I think Rex Ryan might love that place.
True.
A little foot fetish. Mm-hmm. Would you rather have that or a machine that loads and unloads the dishwasher?
How is that possible?
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying I want that one. You're next.
Oh, you're waiting for that. Okay, I'm sorry. All right.
How is that possible? Okay.
Dishwasher?
Let me do this for you. You put your dishes in the sink.
What is it, conveyor
the
belt?
Water turns on, and then there's like on the edge of the sink, it opens up and slides your dishes in there, washes them, and...
So a little conveyor belt of sorts?
Yeah, unloading the dishwasher is worse than folding clothes, in my opinion.
Yeah, folding clothes and doing laundries right there at the worst.
But
wait till your kids get older.
You and I might be a rarity here. We do our own laundry.
We do. My wife shrunk my clothes in 1999. Mm-hmm. I've done my laundry ever since.
Never been the same.
Well, I did my laundry in college too, and all that.
Can't trust it.
No, can't trust it.
All right. I don't do it either because I got a weird torso. I got a long torso, so a lot of my shirts, if I dry them, they shrink.
Yeah,
and I have belly shirts. Mm.
Don't sucks. Need to see that.
Yeah, no, you don't. My furry little belly button.
Like Cam's husky days. Were there a bunch of guys running around in the crop top then?
Oh, always.
Did you ever do it?
Not on purpose.
Did you crop top your jersey?
Jersey. Half those Miami guys.
You
had
don't
them,
realize
all the way up.
That the only way to get your laundry done in college is to throw it in your laundry bag in your locker room, and they throw it in this massive. You had your little laundry bag with a clothespin.
Well, I realized it.
Yeah,
I did it.
Yeah, the giant, massive clothespin that was. Yeah. Boiling hot when you touched it, and that your clothes came back look like, I don't know, the most wrinkled, and you, everybody knew that, oh, there's an athlete.
In 5 billion degrees. Those dryers are the hottest dryers ever. They just stick them in the furnace.
Yep.
Okay. Next hour.
What? I'm moving in with this guy.
Next hour.
Saw that too.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray and his decision may get a little bit tougher because of the teams drafting at the top of the draft. But next, it's our Pro Football Challenge brought to you by Encore Audio Video. Dustin Cam on the Fan.